gets the glory because he is the one who... Now, I'm telling you, I called Fargo several times, no answer, put on hold, everything else. The day that after that prophetic conference I said I should go to Mayo, I called Fargo, got him right away. In 15 minutes, everything was set up. So I'm telling you, even that, you know, the Lord was in that. And I just look back and I say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. This is the title of the sermon. I think I should have retitled it after hearing the song today. I wrote this down. So this probably should be the title. Just to Know Your Death and Resurrection. Just to Know Your Death and Resurrection. I want to know you more, Lord. I want to know you more. And there's a process going on in us as Christians as we go along. So let's just pray here. Lord, I just thank you. Thank you that you never leave us. You never forsake us. We may go through things in life, but you're always there. You're always got our hand. You reach down and you're always protecting us and covering us. And we're under your wing, Lord. We're hid with you, forever. So Lord, there's a rest that comes from knowing you, Lord, and knowing who you are. So we enter into that rest today. Lord, help me as I unfold some of these things to minister what you want, Lord. Change my heart, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, we're going to talk a little about this ministry of the Spirit, you know. Some people think you can, that becomes your ministry. No, there's a ministry of the Spirit, and that's what's going on. It's the Spirit's ministry. It's His ministry that's going on in us. It's the ministry of the Spirit. It's His working in us. So once we are born again and become a new creature in Christ, we receive the person of the Holy Spirit to dwell or live in us. And we've been set on a journey. Ever since then, you've been put on a journey. How many of you have ever been on a journey? I was just talking last night to Louis, was and Cindy were at our house, but I was talking about my grandpa. He went out on a journey. He was out there just building grain bins on the Snake River. And when the gold rush hit, and he set off on a journey, went to Vancouver and got on a boat and went up the inside past the Skagway. I want to do that. I've been talking to our son about that. I'd like to go up and I'd like to get the Skagway and climb over the Chilkoot Pass like he did. I just thought it'd be a fun thing to do. But he went on a journey. 15 years he spent up there on a journey. Sometimes north of the Brooks Range in Alaska. But he was up there 15 years. Never got gold, but he was there. I'm telling you, a Christian, when you enter in and you agree with the Lord when He comes looking for you and you repent and become born again, you get set on a journey. You're on a journey. And you have in you the Holy Spirit to help you on that journey. But you're on a journey. That journey is not in your control. Now, you can say, well, you know, I'm not I don't want to go on that journey. And you can stop the process, but the Lord doesn't stop. You may stop, but He doesn't stop working. He doesn't quit. The course is determined by God, and He's given you a personal guide. As we surrender to that guide, that journey, the journey and the outcome of that journey is to form you, is to take you and form you into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the outcome of that journey, is to form you into His image. It isn't to have, how many billion? 8? I mean, it's okay to have $8 billion. But that's not the Lord's outcome for His people. The outcome is to form you into the image of Christ. That's the outcome. So if you've signed up with the Lord, and you have received the person of the Holy Spirit in you as your guide, that's where He's taking you. I can tell you the final end, but along the way, that forming process is an individual forming process for you, because we're all different. Ole and Sven. Ole was trying to get to do something on the job, and the boss was trying to tell him how to do it. And he wasn't getting it. Sven come along and says, "What's the problem?" "Well, Ole doesn't get it." "Oh, let me deal with it." So he grabs a 2x4 and he whaps Ole on the head. And then he tells him the same thing. And the boss says, "Well, how come you got it this time?" "Well, Sven has a way of explaining it." Some of us need a whap on the side of the head, some of us don't. But we're all a little different. But I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit knows each one of us. But the outcome is the same. To form us into the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you're in that process and you're in that journey. Jesus said in John 10:10 that He came that we might have life and have it abundantly. Well, I've come to know that the life of Jesus is released through this ministry of the Spirit in us. The Holy Spirit in us is releasing the life of Jesus. I preached in this area of this 2 Corinthians before, and I've talked about some of the other ministers of the Old Covenant, but they're not the ones to follow. There's a couple other ministers there. The ministry of death and the ministry of condemnation. Those ministries are not the ones that we should follow. But if you do not know the Word of God, and you don't know what journey you're on, those ministers will come and try to take over your life and try to get you to follow them rather than the ministry of the Spirit. So we don't want to be fooled. We do not want to be fooled. All right. 2 Corinthians 3. We're actually going to be more in 4 here, but The ministry of death. Romans 8:1 says, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of the life of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from sin and death. Set you free from sin and death. And the ministry of condemnation. There is no condemnation. He's taken out. So, how many of you ever fallen into condemnation? Once or twice? That's not the right minister. And the ministry of death and condemnation came through the law. How many of you ever get phone calls? If you see an 800 number come up, you know, I get pretty suspicious. But you got to be a little careful because if you use a calling card or if you sometimes go on different things, a different number comes up on caller ID that's not anything related to who you are. So I used to call Keith Miners up in Winnipeg, and he didn't answer sometimes, but he was going by his caller ID, and it was coming from Atlanta, Georgia. It was coming from who knows where. But it was my calling card. I was using my calling card, and my calling card was giving a different number. So you got to be careful. Just because you don't recognize the number, it may be someone who's trying to get a hold of you that's legitimate. But lots of times you get and you pick up and there's a silence. You ever had that silence? And then if you're smart, if they get a bunch of silence, you just hang up before anybody gets on there. Because once they get on there, you're going through some kind of a deal. Yeah, no, I don't want that. Thank you very much. And then they have another way of hooking you. And finally, they won't listen to you. So you just gotta. How many of you have ever hung up because they won't listen to you? They won't tell you, I don't want it. But they keep going and going and going. Well, I tell you, the ministry of death and the ministry of condemnation are something like that. I don't buy into that anymore, but then it comes around again. It comes around again. And you have to learn how to hang up. And just say, no, I don't want any of that. I don't want that. We as Christians are in a process. I'm in a process and I'm on a journey with the Lord Jesus Christ. And He sent me the person of the Holy Spirit in me to take me on that journey. We're no longer under the ministry of death and the ministry of condemnation. We're under the ministry of the Spirit. The trouble is, if you read this scripture up here, it says that the ministry of death and letters engraved on stones came with glory. It came with glory. Well, you see, the ministry of death will use scripture, it'll use all kinds of things, and it'll use a certain kind of glory to try to get you hooked. And it sounds right. And you know what? It was from the Lord. It's not that it was wrong, but it was exposing something in us so that we would come into the ministry of the Spirit. But it's no longer the valid guide. It's not that, you know, these other ministries come up with some truth and they come up with things, but I'm telling you that the ministry of the Spirit fulfilled all of the ministry of condemnation and death. He fulfilled all the law. But He's taking us now to a journey that's going to produce the goods. Because Christ is in me, the hope of true glory. The hope of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. being revealed in me, there's a hope of that because the ministry of the Spirit is in me to lead me and guide me down this path. And He's in you if you've received the Holy Spirit since you believed. He is taking us on a journey. Another way of saying is God has given us something better, a new and living way. Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the law. And we are now in Him, and the Holy Spirit will help us. We have only one ministry in us. It's the ministry of the Spirit, which gives the full glory of God. And the Holy Spirit will take us all the way home. I think He's going all the way for the football players. He's going to take us all the way. We're going to make it. We're going to make it. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord of the Spirit. One of the words I want you to grab onto is that transformed. Being transformed. Being transformed. It's a process. It's about being transformed from glory to glory. But it says up there, there is liberty. There is liberty. We're no longer confined to the law. We're no longer confined to the law. We have been set free to follow the Spirit. Okay? We're not under the law. We're under the Spirit. We're under His guidance now. It's different. It's different. If you have a set of rules to follow, that's one thing. But if you have a person to follow, that's something else. Now, you have to understand, the set of rules was put in place by the person. And He didn't give us a bad set of rules, but they're no longer what confines us. We're not under that. We're with the person, God Himself, with us, in us, to lead us and guide us down paths of righteousness for His name's sake. But it's no longer just a written code. It's the person in us. It's the ministry of the man. It's the ministry of God in me and in you. We remain free when we follow the Spirit, but I'm telling you, if you do not continue with the Spirit, you'll eventually find yourself back being confined by the law. And those other ministers will rise up. And that can happen to any of us. It can happen to whole denominations. It can happen to the whole bodies, where they stop following the Spirit and stop setting people free to follow the Spirit and put them again under some kind of rules and regulations. We're individually responsible to God. We're individually responsible to listen to the Holy Spirit. And no man can figure out what the Spirit wants you to do, because it's personal. He knows what you need. I don't know what you need. The Spirit does. But it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. The law was about behavior modification. How many of you ever been in a behavior modification class? You may not have been in school in class, but I'll tell you, there are organizations you can get in to try to modify your behavior. But the Spirit is about heart transformation. You know, in this doing the right thing, someone says, you can either be controlled from the inside to do what is right, or you can be controlled from the outside to do what is right. One or the other. So you get a choice. Are you going to be from the inside? Heart transformation? Or are you going to let the law from the outside control your life? The Lord wants us to be transformed from the inside. The law was trying to get us, that is our Adamic nature, to behave and reflect God's glory. The Spirit is removing what remains of the Adamic nature and letting Christ shine through us. That's different. From glory to glory, showing forth the image of Christ in our life and showing forth His image more and more. Moses' glory was fading every day. A Christian's glory is increasing every day. Our glory increases where Moses' glory was decreasing. Every time the Spirit works in us, this death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, more glory gets revealed. More of His image comes forth. We are born again in Christ, so we have His glory. It's just not all seen yet. The Spirit is helping us to manifest the glory of Christ in us. Okay, let's get over to 2 Corinthians. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we receive mercy, we do not lose heart. Now, this ministry he's talking about is the ministry of the Spirit. It's that ministry in us that's doing this marvelous work in us. And it is a marvelous work. It's a marvelous work. It's also known as the ministry of righteousness, the ministry of the Spirit. And like I said before, it's not a ministry for us. It's the ministry of the Spirit in us. It's His ministry. It's His ministry working in us. So I want to read, if you want to turn with me, you can, to Romans 6. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under grace? May it never be. Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as a slave for obedience, you are slaves to the one you obey. Either you're slaves of sin resulting in death, or of obedience resulting in righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you become obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. And having become freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I'm speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. Therefore, what benefit were you deriving from the things you are now ashamed? For the outcome of those things is death. But now, having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit, resulting in sanctification, and the outcome is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift from God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Slaves of righteousness. Paul says, I'm a bond slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm a bond slave. He was a bond slave. He said, I will follow the Spirit. Romans says, if you're led by the Spirit, you're children of God. You become slaves, but you become slaves to the Spirit. But I'm telling you, you know, when I was in the Army, these drill sergeants, they took away everything that was ever yours. I mean, they stripped you of your whatever you thought you had. I mean, some people came in with long hair and thought they had something, you know, and they just, and they'd make fun of you. You know, some people with real long hair, I remember I was in the barber shop, and they'd cut around and leave a bald spot on top with long hair on the side, and then they'd set him off to the side and kind of just let him be a laughing stock while they were cutting other people's hair. And I mean, it was just, but they were just doing this just to take you down and to get you to a point where you would listen to what they said. And they were going to break you down. Well, I'll tell you, you know, I wasn't going to be broke down. And to some degree, I wasn't broke down. But they were breaking you down so that you would listen to them out on the battlefield when the captain says, do this. You didn't question it. You just did it. Now, I'm telling you, some of those captains led people into bad places. They should have never went, and people died because they were obedient to this captain who made mistakes. Told them to do things they shouldn't have done, and people died. I'm telling you that the captain of the Lord of hosts never, has never, and will never make a mistake. His interest is for you and for your good. You can trust the Holy Spirit to take you down a path which is perfect. Never will he make a mistake. Never will he take you down the place where you shouldn't go. He'll always, always, always take you down the path of righteousness. Always. If you listen to the Holy Spirit, he will always be right. Always. You don't ever have to question and say, well, you know, I think maybe I got a better way. I used to do that. To my embarrassment, one time I was praying for the Lord. I really wanted something really bad. And the Lord said, no. Now, I should have left it at that. I should have left it at that. But I said, Lord, I really want it. Guess what he did? He gave it to me. You don't want to go there. He let me have it, so to speak. That didn't just go away. That was a process in my life. But he used it for my good in the end. He used it for my good. So it's this ministry of the Spirit we want to focus on today. The ministry of righteousness. The ministry that brings about life to our mortal bodies. Because it is the Spirit of Him that raised Christ Jesus from the dead. The ministry instills confidence, says we don't lose heart. The ministry brings about fellowship with God because it has us walk in the light as He is in the light. It brings life to our mortal bodies. Okay, the pattern. Here's the pattern. You're looking at everybody who wants to know a pattern. Well, what's the pattern of this whole thing? Or do you not know that all those who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death. Therefore, we've been buried with Him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with Him in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. So Jesus is the pattern. Jesus is the pattern for our life. So here it is. Baptized into Jesus' death, buried with Jesus, and raised with Him. Death, burial, and resurrection. That's the pattern. The outcome for a Christian is always, always, always resurrection life. Always resurrection life. The end of this process is always resurrection life. The outcome of the law was condemnation, death, and judgment. Now, I have to admit, the word death does appear here in this process of the ministry of the Spirit, but it appears in a different way. It's not the outcome, it's part of the process. Okay? When death is part of the process is one thing. When it's the outcome, you don't want to go there. When the outcome is death, that's not what we want. But part of the process of the Spirit is death. Romans 6. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with Him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. When Christ died on the cross, He shed His blood for the forgiveness of sins. Now that's an awesome thing, and by faith, we believe that's so. But something else happened that day, and it is noted here that our old self was crucified with Him. Our old self is the life we received from Adam, the first creation. The old self is the generator of sin. It's where sin originates for every person. You get it when you were conceived. When you were born of a woman, you get that right with you. It's called original sin. It's just part of the nature. It just comes with the package. So to know that that was crucified with Christ is a good thing. If we live in the old self, we're still under the ministry of death and condemnation. However, if we by faith believe that our old self was crucified with Christ, and we find our identity in Christ, we are free from sin. Because we're free from the old man. We're free from the old nature. He who has died is free from sin. Now, if we've died with Christ, it says in verse 8, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer has master over Him. That's important to know because He became a man, and through His being a man, overcome death for us. So that when He never dies again, that means that anybody who's in Christ never dies again. That's eternal life. You get in Him, you don't die. Because there is no more death in Him. Death no longer is master over Him. For the death that He died to sin once for all. But the life He lives to God. Even so, now here's a big step for all of us. Consider yourself to be dead to sin. Consider yourself. That's true for you. Consider it for you. The King James Version uses reckon yourself dead. A dead reckoning. So the Bible says we've died with Christ, but here we see we live with Him and that He is never to die again. But the only way you can have victory over sin is to know your old self was dead. If you don't know that, If you don't know that your old self was crucified with Christ, if you don't know that, sin can still have some way in. It can still get in and take something from you and stir you up. So we're alive to God. Okay, the process. 2 Corinthians 4. Now we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. So this whole process in you is in this earthen vessel. I mean, it's like a vessel, you know, like a boat. This body we have here is just a vessel that contains this precious work of the Holy Spirit in us. This work that's going on is inside this vessel. But I want you to know that if there's an earthen vessel, there's also a heavenly vessel. And we look forward to that vessel. Philippians 1:6. I'm confident of this very thing, that he who began this good work, who started this whole process? It wasn't you. It was God. He who began the good work will perfect it in you until the day of Christ Jesus. And in Philippians 2:13, for it is God who is at work in you both to work and to will for his good pleasure. So God is working. Now, but the process, this process we're in, is the process of the ministry of the Spirit. So we go through things. And I've had a terrible year about that. But the truth of the matter is God never gives up on me. I've been walking through some stuff and it's been kind of up and down. Sometimes I'm good, sometimes I'm not so good. Sometimes I'm ready to give up, sometimes I'm raring to go. But God doesn't quit. He never quits. And he hasn't quit on me. The earthen vessel. What is this dying of Jesus? It says, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. Well, the dying of Jesus, what is that? When he died, you died. When he died, you died. But has that whole process happened? Not for me. For me, there's still things come up in my life. I don't know about you, but is there stuff coming up in your life that isn't reflecting the glory of God? Well, that's still a process. The Holy Spirit, through life. And you know, when it really comes up for me is when I'm going through a real big trial. When I'm going through something, that's when things get exposed. That's when the rotten stuff in me gets exposed. Is when I'm going through something. If I'm floating along and everything's good, I'm not thinking about that. But when things get a little bit rough, that's when things come up in me that say, I don't like this, what's coming out of me. The Spirit then has exposed something in my life, and he wants to deal with it. And I need to reckon that dead. That's not the Lord. That's not the glory of God. The Spirit says, that's not it. Reckon that thing dead. So you got this death going on, and you enter into the burial process and say, that thing is gone. But guess what happens after that? A miracle. A miracle happens. Every time we put to death the deeds of the body, a miracle happens. Something of Jesus rises up and their resurrection life comes out of me. That's Him. That's the miracle of God that happens when we choose to reckon it dead. This process, the Spirit is working in us, exposing. He says, that's not me. Put that to death. Now you know that the Spirit does that in you too. He's letting you know about those things. That's the old. That's your old man. That's your old nature. Reckon it dead. So there's this dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also might be manifested. It's called sanctification. When our old self tries to get our attention, the ministry of the Spirit identifies it and alerts us to the flesh. And by faith, we consider it dead. We reckon it dead. And then we confess it. And we say, that's sin. That thing was sin. And we confess it as sin. Well, guess what happens when you confess it as sin? He's faithful and just to forgive you your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So, I mean, it's a process. But this process is going on all the time. But we need, our thing is to agree with the Spirit, be a slave to the Spirit, and agree with Him and say, you're always right. I'm just going to go your way. I'm going your way. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death works in us, but life in you. Again, this is the process we're in. We're in this process, and if you're a Christian, you're in the process. This is all just revealing to us the process. But you got to come to this point, we who live. You know, in John 5 it says, Jesus said, there's coming a day, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of Jesus and live. Now, just because there could have been some confusion there, and people said, yeah, when the resurrection comes, you know, they'll come out of... He said, don't marvel at this, for there will also come a time when those in the tombs will hear His voice and live. He's speaking about when He dies, all die. The only way you can live is to hear the voice of God and respond to Him and live. So those who live are those who have been born again. The ones who live are the ones who have heard the voice and live. The rest are still in their sin. The rest are still in death. But those who live, that's so it says here, for we who live are constantly being delivered over to death. So we are alive in Christ, but we're constantly being exposed by the Spirit to this thing that's sin in me. There's still sin in me. There's still things that need to be eradicated. There's still things I need to repent of. And say, and agree with the Spirit and say, that's wrong. That's not the Lord. That's not the glory of God. And when that gets peeled away, when I confess it as sin and gets peeled away, guess what's right underneath that? What's right underneath that is Jesus shining through. So that when I agree with the Spirit and confess this as sin and let Him take it away, it lets Jesus shine through. It lets the life of Christ shine through. So when we confess our sin, but if we hold on to it and say, that's not sin, well, then we just keep it, we just are covering over the glory of God. But He wants to take us to a place where His glory is being manifested in us. If the Spirit of Him, it says in Romans 8:11, but if the Spirit of Him who raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to this mortal body by the Spirit that dwells in us. You can count on it. It's true. When you consider these things and reckon them dead, and confess it as sin and not hold on to it, not say, you know, I have a right to do this. When the Spirit says, get rid of it, get rid of it. Whatever he, and he's gentle. He's just gently taking you along. It happens all the time. It happens when you're driving the car. It happens when you're speaking to your spouse. It happens when you're on a job. It happens when somebody does something wrong in your life. Paul says, I went through all these things. And he was letting us know that there were things he was going through, but in all that, he had life. He had life. In Romans 8:13, it says this, for if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. That kind of sums it up, this whole process. Final slide here, give you some hope that I'll be done. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal death. So death works in us, but life in you. When you die to the old self, you manifest the life of Jesus to others. The process ministers life to others. So when Paul faced trials, he did not respond according to the flesh. But being led by the Spirit, he pressed on. And I really believe that when in Philippians, when he said that I might know him, his death, burial, and resurrection, that I might know the resurrection of the Lord. He wanted that resurrection life in him. And so do we. But that only comes. Candy was quoting Jeanette to me one day. I think it was Jeanette who said this. You can tell me if you're wrong, but it said this. The trouble with Christians is we want life of Christ without any death. We want to manifest the life of Christ, but we don't want to die. We just want the life. But I tell you, there's no other pattern you can come into than the pattern of death, burial, and resurrection. You don't get resurrection life until you have listened to the Spirit and said, that's wrong in me, confessed it as sin, let the Lord cleanse you of that, reckon yourself dead to it, and let the resurrection life flow through you. But it doesn't happen any other way. You can't, there's no other bypass of getting to resurrection life than through the death, burial, and resurrection process of our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't really like this next. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death. When I read that, I realized something. It doesn't say periodically, from time to time, but it uses the word constantly. And I realize now that if I just tune into the Spirit, it's happening all the time. It's happening all the time. If you just tune in just a little bit and say, Lord, what are you showing me this time? What are you showing me here? And He'll let you know. He'll let you know. But it's a constant thing. It isn't like, well, I go through this or whatever. It's a constant. Constantly we're being reminded of the death of our old nature and the life of Jesus. So that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. Psalm 34:19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. I don't know if you just go on to the next verse in 2 Corinthians, I don't have it here, but the next verse, Paul quotes Psalm 116. And he says, maybe I wrote down some stuff here. Oh, there's a couple. I believed when I said, I am greatly afflicted. He says this. I believed when I said, I'm greatly afflicted. And I looked in a different translation. And I like this one. It's out of God's Word translation. I kept my faith even when I said, I'm suffering terribly. I kept my faith even when I said, I'm suffering terribly here. But I kept my faith. And it goes on in Psalm 116, 15, and I heard this, someone preached on this verse not too long ago here. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His godly ones. Well, here Paul is quoting this scripture, I believed. And then just a little bit later it says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His godly ones. I think it may just have to do with the dying that's going on in me to produce the life. He didn't leave us in a place of death. But He brought us to resurrection. So in the midst of suffering terribly, will we keep the faith? Will we believe in resurrection life, even when we're suffering terribly? There may be more suffering coming. I don't know. I don't know if I want any more. But I want to keep the faith. And I want you to know that the ministry of the Spirit in you is to get you through to the end. That you will go all the way home. If you listen to the Spirit, He'll take you all the way. He's a comforter too, you know. He knows how to comfort us. He knows how to take us through trial. But His ultimate purpose is to take us to that point where we will confess our life as sin when it's not Him. He'll take us to that point. He'll take you to that point. Whatever He has to do to get you to the point of reckoning yourself dead to sin, He'll do that. He does that in my life and He'll do it in your life. He's relentless. He will not quit. Because He loves you. He loves me. And He won't quit until He gets the glory to shine through us. His glory, from glory to glory. And that's the purpose of what, for every Christian, that's the purpose. There is no other purpose. But the purpose of the Spirit in us is to get us to shine forth the glory of God. Because when we're in that place, we're filled with love, we're filled with fellowship, we're filled with whatever is in God is in us. And that's His goal. So I say, rise up and believe. You're in His hands and no one can snatch you out. And believe that He who began that good work in you is faithful to complete it. He'll be faithful to do that. Now, I've been around some of you guys quite a while. I hope you've seen it, something in me, but I have seen God working in you. I mean, we're not the same as we were when we first believed. There's more shining through you today than there was when you first believed. And it's a joy, and that's somehow what I draw off of, that's a process that's true and it works. But I'll tell you, when you're in the middle of the battle and you don't know what to do next, you have to have something to grab onto and say, Lord, You're not going to leave me, You're not going to forsake me, and You're going to use this. So rather than complain when you're in the middle of the battle, just say, Lord, what do You want to show me? What do You want me to reckon dead today? What do You want me to reckon dead now? Because it only takes seconds. It don't take a long time. How long does it take to confess sin? Boom. It can be done just that quickly. All we have to do is agree with the Spirit. Just agree. But it's a process that's working in us. So don't be looking at each other too much, but when the life of Jesus is coming out of somebody, rejoice with them. Because you know something's happened. You know something's happened. And when, you know, pray for one another. Pray for one another that we can encourage one another and stay the course, and so that we can say, when I'm suffering, I still kept the faith. I still believed in you, even though I said, Lord, I'm suffering greatly here. But I still kept the faith. And let's keep the faith and keep walking on. Win the battle here. Whatever battle you're in, you're victorious. You are victorious, you'll be victorious, and you will continue to be victorious because the Spirit is committed to see you through. Each one of you. He's committed to see me through, I know that. You'll make it. You will make it if you don't lose heart. Father, I thank you for your word, and I thank you, Lord, that we have been purchased by your blood. We belong to you. I thank you that we've been born again so that we are now children of God. I thank you for the Holy Spirit whom you've given in us, committed to finish the process, to finish the work, to finish that which is going on in me so that I will reflect your glory. Lord, I'm just amazed. I'm amazed, Lord. So I thank you for that. And Lord, I just pray now for grace, that we would all receive a measure of grace, knowing that we are in your favor and you have the best for us. And the Spirit's always right. He's never wrong. We can become slaves to righteousness. We can become slaves to the Spirit, knowing that he never makes a mistake. So we humble ourselves before you, Lord, and say, Lord, we will follow you wherever you go. And Lord, even that, I need your help. I need your help to do that. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being my helper. In Jesus' name, amen.